Welcome back, Bears fans, to the CHGO Bears podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the app and use promo code CHGO when you sign up. And how's it going, everybody? Will DeWitt, Nicholas Moriano here. It is Friday, and I'm excited because we're making it a mock draft Friday. I've heard a lot about mock draft Monday over the years, partook in that, but I wanted myself a mock draft Friday. How's it going, Nick?
Yeah, I think it's going well, Will, and we have our own day now, right? We're making the mock draft Friday a thing now, and I think this is like the first official one with all the picks that I've done this year and that we're, you know, going to share on here, and we're going to have a lot of support, a lot of fighting going on, but it's going to be great. Oh, yeah. Mock draft Friday. Let's do it.
Yeah, I'm excited to see the reactions. Usually it's like, you know, mock draft days, piss off everybody kind of day too, yes. And we'll see how it all shakes out. Lawrence, our awesome producer, pointed out that our picks didn't line up about an hour ago, and tried to like randomly find a fifth rounder, which, man, that sucked because I was like, oh, I could have taken this player, and it kind of affected like those seventh round picks, but I had to kind of just do it in a makeshift fashion. So, you know, just to kind of give a peek behind the curtain, but still it's a good way. And again, as we want to preface all of our mock drafts, it's a good way to learn more about some of these prospects, in addition to just kind of guessing where some of these picks could go. And I think we should let people know, like, we did not do any trades. This was kind of like stick to your gun sort of a mock draft here where we didn't want to do any trade down situations. And I'm sure Lawrence appreciates that too, because if we both would have done different trade downs.
I mean, guys, I made 20 graphics as is, so. Yeah.
It could have been 40. You don't know.
Also, I feel like you guys are picking a bunch of guys whose names are crazy and like are very hard to spell. And I had to Google double check all of them. And you guys got a couple mistakes, but I fixed them for you.
Oh, no. Did I get one, Lawrence?
I don't remember, but there were a few errors.
Man, I thought I double checked, triple checked. Maybe I did.
I think I fixed it. I
appreciate
everything.
You.
Or maybe I screwed some up just to have fun. Who knows? We'll see.
Who knows?
We will figure it out. So before we get into the mock draft, if you haven't yet, and I know you haven't even heard of a single player, but hit the thumbs up button, like it as it is. And if you like any of the players or don't like any players, hit the thumbs up as we go along. And of course, you can follow Nick at Nicholas Moriano. I am at Will DeWitt. My L's are ones. I think that does it for some house cleaning. You ready to rock and roll?
Let's do this. Well, I don't know how long it's going to take, so let's get right into it. And 10 picks. Let's go.
10 picks. Each. All right. Round one, pick 9. Who are you taking?
Oh, wow. Okay. I'm going to start this off. Let's start this mock draft off with a bang here. Round one, pick 9. The Chicago Bears are going to select Kalijah Kancey, defensive lineman out of Pittsburgh. Guy was a Bronco Nagurski Award finalist last season, 11 games, 7.5 sacks, 14.5 tackles for loss, 31 total tackles. But this is a guy that I think when you watch his tape, wins from the interior, wins with a quick first step, fast hands. And if you see those similarities to Aaron Donald, there's a lot of things to like with what he does in his game. But this is the engine, right, that Matt Eberflus currently doesn't have on his defense, that Alan Williams would love to have for this defensive line. And I'm already seeing a little reach too high. I'm seeing mock drafts where he's going maybe at 13, 12. And ideally, if you could trade back and get him there, that'd be perfect. But this is a guy that I think when he projects to the next level, he's going to make a lot of impact plays in the backfield and hopefully be that penetrator, that disruptor, that engine that Matt Eberflus has not had since he's gotten with the Bears this season, or since he's gotten with the Bears last year.
Now, I see a couple people in the comments saying that's a potential reach. I know you also mentioned best case scenario, you trade back and you can still draft him. Would you be okay, though, if they went this direction at 9, if he truly was like the top guy on their board? Obviously, we don't know who that player would be, but would you be okay with it?
I would. Yeah, I think it's a guy that makes an impact. And if you even take out like position of need real quickly and just look at, you know, what he brings just as a football player and just everything, all the traits that he has. And then on top of that, yeah, it's a huge position, the need for the Bears. Like, this is a guy that I think makes a huge impact for this defense. But we're going to go with Kalijah Kancey to start this mock draft off.
Kalijah Kancey. I went on offense with my ninth overall pick, and I went true BPA, best player available. So with the ninth overall pick, I have the Chicago Bears drafting Jackson Smith Njigba from Ohio State. I thought about Peter Skoronski. I thought about Broderick Jones. Paris Johnson's on there too. It's, man, it was just BPA, and I feel like that's the way that Ryan Poles will go about this. And I again, I didn't draft because of a need. They have DJ Moore now, but man, I just stacked that Bears wide receiver room. You bring it, and I saw them bring him in for a top 30 visit. He says it's going to be amazing if he could reunite with Justin Fields. I'm just connecting some dots here, but we've talked about him a lot, whether we are making the case videos or here on other podcast episodes, but he's a consistent catcher, even in tight coverage over the middle of the field. He's a technician over there. Would we give Justin yet another reliable option with soft hands? I still can't believe he averaged almost 200 yards per game in his last five games in that 2021 season. And I just really appreciate his route running, his ability to get in and out of his breaks to create that separation, like I said. So is it a big need right now after DJ Moore to go receiver in top 10? No, probably not. But if he is someone that you have graded as like the top guy on your board and he's still falling down, you can get him at nine. I can see the Bears going in this direction. And obviously, you can't have too many great weapons for Justin Fields. So I'm going to go with JSN here for number nine.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. Like, you can never have too many weapons for Justin Fields. So even at nine, after a DJ Moore acquisition, it's just another weapon for Justin Fields to use there. But apparently, I think the Nomad, we both have been fired GM. So, you know, we do have nine more picks, though. So you have to tune in and listen to what we have to say, and we're going to start this off. We're going now to round two, and that's the big thing. You pick at number nine. You don't pick until round two, pick 53. So again, ideally a trade back at nine, I think, is where a lot of Bears fans would like to go. But at pick 53, I am addressing that Bears offensive line. I'm going to North Dakota State to do that with Cody Mauch as my guy there. 6'5", 302-pound offensive lineman. Got to see him up close at the Senior Bowl. Just one of the most consistent players there throughout all the seniors that were participating in the Senior Bowl practices. And what I would tell him, if I'm Ryan Poles, there is an opening at right tackle right now. I know you played left tackle at North Dakota State. Maybe you have 32 3/8 inch arms. We're going to see there's an opening at right tackle. Go compete for that. Your biggest competition right now is Larry Borum, who really has not been, you know, obviously he's not the player, the future player at right tackle for the Bears. So you're going to bring in Cody Mauch. If that doesn't work, you can also slide him inside, but I think he has the movement skills, the quickness, the toughness, the pursuit to take good angles at the second level to be a right tackle in this league. So we're going first pick with Kalijah Kancey. Cody Mauch, my second pick, addressing the defensive and offensive lines.
Interesting. I mean, I love fortifying the trenches. I'm just intrigued that you can see him playing at like right tackle, because I know I hear a lot about sliding in the guard and that's where he's best suited, but you make a compelling case, Nick, and if they do go in that direction here, obviously offensive line is a serious need. So I like it. It's a player we've talked about, but not as much as we did a couple months ago. So it's great to kind of bring him back to the fold here. I also went offensive line with this pick, and I went with John Michael Schmitz, the center out of Minnesota. And to be honest, when this pick kind of came up for me, I told myself I really don't want to have Cody White here at center. Like, I'm just trying to find a way to avoid it. And JMS, I mean, he's ultra consistent. He fits that Bears zone scheme like a glove. Great technique, instant day one starter. And he's just a smart player. He's a leader up front. He can make those calls and adjustments. He can get into position with that lateral quickness, reach those blocks and those outside zone run plays, meshes well with other offensive linemen, can kind of double team, understands when to kind of disengage and reach that second level. And one thing I just appreciate about JMS is this consistency. It's really key. The Bears have not had any consistent play from their center position in years. It's been quite a long time. So for me, bringing him in would provide stability for the unit and Justin Fields as a whole. And on top of that, I talked about like the run fit. Like, he's a fine pass protector too, has a strong anchor. He can hold up the interior of the pocket. And if arm length is your thing, because I know that's always been like a buzz thing right now, like, I know his arms are a little bit shorter on that side, but it doesn't really worry me whatsoever. But yeah, I feel like JMS is a plug and play day one starting center. If you can get him here at pick 53, why the hell not?
Yeah, and I was watching some John Michael Schmidt's film, and he did a nice breakdown with Brandon Thorne, who's like the god of offensive lineman breakdowns. The thing that really stands out about him, finisher. He finishes every single play in the effort that he gives. So really good player that's going to, you know, fit what this Bears offensive line wants from their offensive line, especially Ryan Poles, but really like the pick there, Will.
Yeah, and I wanted to throw up this comment from Brandon. Games are won and lost in the trenches. I haven't heard that.
Oh, it's the actual Brandon.
It's the actual Brandon. I like my jaw dropped when I saw that kind of pop up in the chat. What's going on, B? Miss you, buddy. Can't wait to see you soon.
I saw that. It's just Brandon. I don't know why I didn't see the last name. Brandon, it's great to have you here, man. And yes, they are. And, you know, we're starting to fortify the trenches with a couple of these picks. But I'm going to go actually out of the trenches for this next pick. And we're still in round two.
Hold on. I want to jump in here because Monsi sent a super chat about the JSN pick. So I thought we should address this before we move on. So he says, if the Bears' best player available is JSN, would you be willing to trade Mooney for a third or a fourth if a team offered you that?
I'm holding on. I'm going to, like I said, I want to stack it. I understand because they are similar-esque players, but I feel like Mooney can still be your Z, and then you can have, of course, Jackson be your slot guy primarily. I think it was like over 80% of those college snaps in the slot, so that's where you would see him kind of make his bread and butter. But like I said, I'm here to stack. I think Mooney can be more valuable to the Bears this season than a third or a fourth would be. And honestly, go through the year. We all know how rookie receivers need time to adjust anyway. And then if you feel good about them and Mooney's still here and you can get a third, a fourth out of Mooney after this season, then I think that's a stronger conversation that I would be more willing to entertain.
Yeah, I want to see what Darnell Mooney can do with a full season in this offense. We didn't get an opportunity to see that last season, and man, if you're getting a third or fourth, especially a third, that's actually pretty good value for Mooney, I think, especially with the wide receiver market is. But yeah, I'm good with seeing what Darnell Mooney can do in another season with Justin Fields. Hopefully he takes this jump as a passer. So I want to see that happen. But I'm going to get out of the trenches now for this one, Will, for my next pick. Round two, pick 61. There's a hole at the cornerback spot opposite of Jalen Johnson right now, Will. So I'm upgrading that position right now with cornerback Julius Brents out of Kansas State. Guys, 6'3", 198 pounds, was also at the Senior Bowl. Not the fastest guy, but he's athletic as hell. 41.5-inch vert. And ooh. I know, like, I think Gary was in the chat. He's like, Nick better not have all Iowa guys. This is my Iowa guy because he started his collegiate career at Iowa.
Oh.
He got injured and then he ended up transferring to Kansas State, but he had 4 interceptions last year. Plays with aggression. His length allows him to really disrupt wide receivers when they're running their routes, and he is not afraid whatsoever to get physical when it comes to tackling. And I think that's going to resonate if he does get drafted by the Bears. He can be a part of this secondary. So upgrading that position, and now you have a very young secondary with who already kind of showed you what they're capable of without a pass rush. Got Kalijah Kansi, so now we're starting to build obviously both sides here. But Julius Brents, cornerback, Kansas State, with my second pick in the second round.
We all know Ryan Poles is not afraid of drafting players in the secondary in that second round, so I can see that one aligning pretty well. I'm staying in the trenches, but now I'm flipping over to defense. I'm going with Keanu Benton, the defensive lineman out of Wisconsin. 6'4", 309, and this man is quick for his size. He has that length to go with it that the Bears want at the position. He has some of that violent, explosive hands that you wanted to kind of see to kind of go along with it. And I learned more about Benton during the combine, where he was talking about, you know, early on in my career, they wanted me to be a nose tackle, just kind of, you know, stay there, absorb some blocks, hold those gaps. But then as he got older and more into the program, they kind of shift through our defense identity. Hey, you can go after passers, right? Go ahead and do that. And that's why, you know, he didn't have any sacks his second year. I think he only had 2 sacks as a freshman. But over his last 2 seasons, he had 15 tackles for loss and 7 sacks. And he also won this past year Wisconsin's Defensive Player of the Year Award for their team. And we all know that Wisconsin's been churning out NFL linebackers like no other. We have two right now on our roster in Sanborn and Edwards. So for him to win that award, I think it means something. And he's just a force. He's hard to knock off balance. He battles through blocks. He stays engaged throughout the play. And again, his violent hands, he can knock an offensive lineman off balance and be able to bull rush through him. It just opens up good pass rush opportunities, and he just has that strength to shed blocks. He's a high motor, hustle, intensity sort of player. And of course, like every prospect, needs to clean up some things, maybe doing a better job at taking on some doubles, read and move just a little bit quicker. But the Bears, they've made some good moves, I think, in free agency to kind of bolster, raise the floor of the defensive line. I think this adds more fuel to the fire and gives them a potential long-term three-tech guy. So that's why I would go with Benton here with my final pick here in the second round.
Yeah, Keanu Benton turned some heads, I think, at the Senior Bowl, what he was able to do. So another good pick, and getting that three tech, you know, providing some much needed defensive lineman, defensive line play production where the Bears need it most. So that's our last pick in the second round. We're going to round three now. Pick 64. Sticking with players at the Senior Bowl that left an impression on me. I'm going with Keon White, the edge out of Georgia Tech, a guy that's 6'5", 285 pounds, fits that prototypical defensive end. Just the body type that you want to see there. 7.5 sacks last season, 54 tackles, 14 tackles for loss for Georgia Tech. And it's a guy that wins with speed right now. I think he can do a little bit more in terms of developing his pass rush skills, but does provide that inside-outside versatility. I know he killed it at his pro day in terms of the 40, just seeing the explosion that he can generate. So again, kind of reinforcing that inside outside versatility that he can provide. But there's also plays, Will, where because he's so athletic, as an edge defender, he's going out and covering a running back who's running a vertical route, you know, out of the backfield. And you're like, how is, you know, a defensive end his size able to run with a guy like that? But provides a lot of just a lot of things that you can do with him. And I think there's so much more potential as well for what he can do. But going with round three, pick 64, Keon White, the edge defender out of Georgia Tech.
Well, I think round three is just known as Battle of the Edge Defenders, because I'll see yours and I'll raise you Derek Hall out of Auburn. Okay. I know there's some people that look at him as like a tweener, but the more I watch, the more I see, like, I really believe the Bears, they can make him work at defensive end. He brings some athleticism and more potential to the room. He's an elite athlete. So just like you, I'm kind of banking on like the athletic upside right here. He played basketball, ran track in high school, in addition to football. And that's as evident just with his impressive get off. You know, he wins off the snap, and that puts those tackles in a bad spot. You know, shout out to Corey Wooten, because he and I talked about that at the NFL Combine, about how important that is, getting that quick first step and putting those tackles in disadvantageous positions. He's a team captain, so you know he has tremendous character. I think it'd be fun to kind of watch him grow and develop into like a leader at the position. And he has, like I said, the athleticism. And on top of that, he has length and power, two other elements of the game that you really want to see of your defensive end. He can generate separation upon impact. And you pair that with the length and power with that strong frame, he can really just make pockets collapse in a hurry, generate some of those pocket pushes. And once inside, I mean, he's like 100% go. Like, I'm going to find a quarterback, and he can just see him with urgency doing that too. And when he demonstrates that urgency and that assertiveness and effectiveness as a power rusher to go with some of that quick first step, like, I can see the traits there to develop into a very good defensive end here in this league. He does need to add more moves to his repertoire. We can say that about every single guy, but again, like, he has, I think, a great foundation that Eberflus and the Bears can really build upon. And I don't know if he would be like a, you know, top five, top 10 guy, but I think he can be a very damn good pro. And here in the third round, I think you definitely would take it.
Yeah, you definitely will. Just to make sure I got this right, with our first four picks, three for both of us have been addressing the trenches, right? For you as well, you have three in the trenches, three for me. You went wide receiver, I went cornerback. But, you know, I think that's honestly with what the Bears didn't do as much of in free agency, I think that would be the focus, you know, to see if you can get some higher end players on both offensive line, defensive line early on in the draft so that you can have impact players, but can definitely see it going, you know, some version of how we have it going in this mock draft. But probably before we get to our break, we're going to go round four, right? Oh. Or do we want to split it half and half? Up to you,
Will. I was thinking right now, I mean, round three, that's technically the end of day two.
That's so okay. That's another way of thinking about it.
So I thought it would be a good time to get to the break, and then we can enter day three, which we all know Ryan Poles, if he can take like the two picks or three picks he had into like six last year.
Yeah.
Just imagine how many picks the Bears could have here on day three. But before we get to that, we need to share some messages. I want to talk to you about one of our favorite sponsors, and that is DraftKings Sportsbook, the official betting partner of CHGO and All City. I think everyone knows how much I really love utilizing DraftKings. They make betting fun. I love all the boosts that you can get, all the bonuses, and on top of that too, it just, if you're smart with your bets and you kind of get to use those boosts, you get a lot of bang for your buck. And that's what I really enjoy about them. And I know throughout the entire collegiate tournament, they have those power boosts for those parlays. So you get three, you can have four, and then every single leg, you get a bigger boost. And I did win, by the way, the one that I shared last week, I won some money on that. Unfortunately, just with getting through this mock draft here this morning, I wasn't able to come up with a parlay. So I do apologize, but you can make your own parlay in DraftKings. All you need to do is download the app now and sign up with code CHGO. New customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA, with code CHGO. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
If you have fire parlays, just send them my way. I am on a losing streak, so that, you know, any fire parlays you guys got, you send them my way. I also got to direct you to ComEd. And as you know, the CHGO Bears offseason coverage is brought to you by ComEd Energy Efficiency Program. You can learn more at comed.com/poweringbiz. The ComEd Energy Efficiency Program is committed to helping families and businesses in the communities we serve save money and energy. And ComEd offers free facility assessments that can help find energy-saving opportunities, whether it's lighting, HVAC systems, commercial kitchen equipment, or industrial processes. An authorized engineer will work with you to develop a detailed assessment plan specific to your goals and needs. These can be done in person or virtually and last approximately 2 hours. And don't wait. Get started saving money and energy today. For energy-saving tips and to schedule your free facility assessment, go to comed.com/poweringbiz. And if you're ready to sign up for your facility assessment, call them at 1-855-433-2700 during normal business hours to speak with a ComEd Energy Efficiency Program representative. You can also email businessee@comed.com or request an assessment online on their website at comed.com/facility assessment.
All right, this is the CHGO Bears podcast. Old DeWitt, Nicholas Moriano here. We are doing it's post-free agency, but free agency is like never done. So it's like the dust settling free agency mock draft edition. And before we get to the remaining picks and players, I have two questions for you. So, well, you technically did draft a tackle. So my first question is like, wow, neither of us drafted a tackle. What would you want to talk about with that? But I've realized you have Cody playing tackle, where every time I think of him, I think of guard. So that's on me. So I apologize. So I'll get to the second question here. And that is, a lot of people are talking about like the need, like for the Bears, like they don't need a lot of picks right now. I see in the chat to like start this year coming up. Like they can draft more guys that can have like more of a long-term impact right now. So I'm just curious your thoughts on like, when you look at this draft and for the Bears and the importance of it, obviously in round one, you want to find a day one starter, probably with your first, second rounder. Yeah, probably the same thing with the other one. But unlike last year when everything was like so much in flux and you're completely scrapping it, like this year it could be different where you do bank on a player's potential to help you out in 2024 and maybe beyond that, if depending on how the rest of free agency shakes out and of course the draft board. But I'm just curious your thoughts on not having to like have to find starters this year and what that could mean.
Well, I feel like that applies definitely more as we get into day three, right? These picks, which the Bears, you know, still have a bunch of them to make here. But with this team, this Bears roster, it's so young as it is, as it stands today, that there could be a potential good amount of these players that the Bears select in April that will be starting day one. And Matt Eberflus has shown, like, you know, only 1 year here, like, if you produce on the practice field, you're consistent with your game, you'll have an opportunity to play. So that definitely, it can be true that they can, you know, draft guys that still have some more developing to do, and, you know, they can quote unquote be like stashed away, but they will probably see playing time. Like, Dominique Robinson was a very raw prospect at the defensive end position, but, and maybe because there wasn't anybody really stepping up, he got playing time. So I could see it both ways, but I think with this Bears roster as it stands, these picks are going to play some significant time in the regular season.
Man, Brandon's in the chat talking to Phil, and it's just like, wow, like, it just throwback, like, to like so many like people of that era. I'm like, it just puts a smile on my face. Good way to for Friday. And Brandon, if you're like on lunch or something and you're just watching, like, you should have texted me. I could give you a link. You can pop on, talk some Bears. Like, come on, man. You got this. All right, round four, pick 103. Nick, I'll start it off here for this round. I finally found my tackle, or at least a tackle, and that is Blake Freeland out of BYU. Man, you just love his size. I think the term I saw earlier today, someone referenced him as like a skyscraper at the tackle position. 6'8", 302. He has a lot of length. You don't have to worry about that, and he's very athletic for his size. He's a good mover in space. He can do what is needed in that outside zone scheme. He can mirror and match defenders in space, like I mentioned. And on top of that, too, just doing that is like where he thrives. So it's like a good fit, really, for both sides. He played 2 years at right tackle before moving over to left, so he does have, you know, the versatility to go either way. This year, even though he's like a mid-round prospect, he was PFF's second highest graded tackle. I thought that was pretty interesting when I saw that come through. He's a leader, a team captain, a four-year starter. And he just really, I really appreciate that experience and just his leadership qualities. There's kind of a theme with a few of my players there. And he plays with the energy that Ryan Poles wants to see out of those linemen. He has a good passion for the game. You can feel his presence. He's a fighter through and to the whistle. And of course, he needs to add a little bit more power to his core. He's so tall, he needs to work on getting some better leverage as a run blocker. And then, like I said, strength, the play strength too. But all in all, I think this would be, if the Bears, at least how my board fell, didn't find a tackle that aligned or were other players on day one and day two that were graded higher, I think Freeland here to kind of start off day three would be a pretty solid choice.
For you, Will, too, would Freeland be a guy that week one, is he fighting for that job? Is he somebody that, I mean, maybe the Bears had a veteran right tackle, which is very possible given the depth that they don't have at the position, but that guy maybe later on in the season. How do you, you're making the pick, what were you kind of envisioning?
I was envisioning someone to come in and could definitely challenge, as of right now, it would be Larry Borum for that right tackle spot. And I feel like this is a very similar position where we got Braxton Jones last year, a little earlier. This is round four, 103, a little earlier. But I can still see, obviously, if you draft someone here in day three, they can still be a surprise and start, you know, week one here at the offensive tackle position, just like we saw last year with Jones. So, yeah, I think with the current structure of the roster, you absolutely can have them in a camp battle. But if they add a veteran who's like, I would say, just a safer bet, then I wouldn't mind Freeland kind of being the swing tackle and kind of earning his keep and, you know, making his dues.
Got it. Okay. I'm going to pick with round four, pick 103, Tajay Spears, running back out of Tulane, playmaker. You watch his film, the plays he's creating, the explosive plays. He had 229 rushing attempts last season, 1,581 rushing yards, 19 touchdowns, and he also had the 22 receptions. So a dual threat when it comes to a guy like Spears, a guy that stood out, especially in the one-on-ones at the Senior Bowl. There were a couple of reps where it simply wasn't fair for linebackers. I'll put it that way. But like his vision and his versatility in the run game, and also what he's capable of doing as a pass catcher, ability to make sharp cuts, you know, once he reaches that second level, I think he'll fit this wide zone scheme that the Bears like to run. And look, the Bears, they lost David Montgomery. They brought in Deontay Foreman. And I think there's still more that you can just add to that room along with Khalil Herbert. And I think even with Travis Homer, if you want to put him in there as like your third, and Ebner as well, but you could still just do more at the position. And this is another guy that I think just adds another playmaker for Justin Fields. And, you know, at 5'10", 201 pounds, he has, you know, decent size. But I think he's not going to be like your, obviously your power back or anything like that, but everything he can do with his vision, his ability to cut and make plays at the second level. I like what Tajay Spears and the potential of what he can do in the Bears offense.
I'm sorry, but a running back of his size, if he could be your power back though, like how fun would that be? Like, oh my gosh, just look at that everything. little cannonball. Oh, that would be fun. But like you said, that's not really his style, but like you, I think adding a running back in this draft is not out of the question. Even though they signed two in free agency, I think they would definitely be remiss if they completely took that out of the equation. And having all your options heading into training camp at that position specifically, if you are missing out on like David Montgomery, as we talked about, like it would make a lot of sense because you have to figure out exactly how it all shakes out. I think the only, I guess, certainty is you kind of know what you're going to get from Khalil Herbert, but outside of that, like I think you can't completely bank on everyone else that they brought in here so far. So I understand that pick Nick. Just realized it. All right, let's go with my pick here, and I went with Luke Schoonmaker, the tight end out of Michigan. And 6'5", 251. Tight end wasn't something I was looking at really going into this mock draft, but when the board kind of fell this way and I was looking into it, it made some sense. Like the Bears signed Robert Tonyan, but that was a one-year deal. And when I look at Luke, his pro comp that I've seen a couple different times was Dawson Knox. So Why not draft someone who's a Dawson Knox comp to be your tight end three this year, who can grow into a tight end two role in 2024 and beyond? He's a decent run blocker. He's willing to be someone to do the dirty work there, create those run lane angles, good hand usage. And he has some power to his blocks too, which you don't always see out of tight ends. And he can, as a receiver, create decent separation in and out of his breaks. He's someone that understands zone coverages and how to exploit those by finding the soft spots, become an easy target for quarterbacks. And there's one thing I did notice, he likes to let that ball come to his body a bit. So he needs to work on extending his hands and catching some of those away from his body. And that will allow him to be more of a complete receiver. But on top of that, I just feel like all of his weaknesses are easily coachable, and he has a lot of potential to be a very good tight end in this league. And if you can get someone in the fourth round to be potential like tight end two behind Cole Kmet, they have a long-term answer there. If Tonyan's not it, then like this would not be a bad way to go about it. And I want the Bears to get into a spot where they are thinking a year or two ahead, where you are drafting some of these players to develop, to take over roles a step or two down the road. So when you enter the draft, you're not always like, okay, I have like six needs I have to fill. Like you can realize they're in the future, and it allows you not to reach so much. So for me, I'm going to go tight end here, which I think surprised a lot of people.
No, I like that idea of getting a tight end, and you'll have to see in my mock draft if I get one for the Bears in this one. But yeah, this is a good tight end group. So if the Bears come away with a tight end that can, you know, obviously provide help with the run blocking, but also be a vertical threat for Justin Fields, all for it. So like the pick there, Will, but I'm going to give a clear vertical threat for Justin Fields with my pick 133 in the fourth round. And I guess he had a 30 visit with the Bears. It's Jaden Reed, the wide receiver out of Michigan State. It's a guy that I think a lot of Bears fans like, especially the comments he had about Justin Fields wanting to play for him, but runs a 4.45. I liked how at the combine, I forgot exactly what was going on with his eye, but he's still going out there competing, kind of showing his toughness out there and just trying to showcase to these NFL teams what he's all about. But in 11 games last season, 55 receptions, 636 yards, 5 touchdowns. But the year before that, 59 receptions, 1,026 yards, and 10 touchdowns. But he plays multiple wide receiver spots, so you can kind of put him wherever you see best, and it could change on a play-to-play basis. Also offers kickoff and punt return flexibility. So he's not just a guy that needs to go out there and contribute as a wide receiver early on. You can get him on the field in other ways, get the ball in his hand. So Jaden Reed for the Bears, kind of adding my first, you know, wide receiver in this draft for Justin Fields. to go alongside DJ Moore, Chase Claypool, Darnell Mooney, Cole Kmet as a receiving threat. So pick round four, pick 133, Jaden Reed.
You know, with the Bears having DJ now, if you don't go receiver early, which there's a good chance they don't, again, it'll really depend on how the boards fall, but getting Reed here in round four, I think is tremendous value. And I think it's a great pick, honestly.
Yeah. And I think there's a couple of wide receivers that in this round three, four, five, that, you know, if they're there, I'd take them. Like Michael Wilson out of Stanford is another guy. I was kind of doing a bunch of mock draft simulators. Will these guys be there? Maybe they, you know, the mock draft simulator is not going to even know, but yeah, it's a good group for later round wide receivers if the Bears choose to do that. In April.
I know we're a little bit past like the halfway point, but you mentioned like mock draft simulators. What did you use, like a specific big board for yours here today? I forgot to like ask at the top.
Yeah. So I was going, doing a little bit of the Draft Network, also PFF. So it was a combination of the two, like kind of cross referencing to see again what they're thinking. And honestly, does anybody really know how this is going to play out?
No.
Absolutely not. So it's a good exercise, but I was kind of using both of those.
So like this year for me, I've been using a site I haven't used in years past, and we're going to find out if I should ever use it again in the future in about a month. But it's a Mock Draft Central. Let's double check that link. Mock Draft Database. And pretty much what they do is like they take all the big boards and all the mock drafts that people publish, and they just average out where everyone's going.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's where I'm kind of getting some of these. And it's interesting to like watch because you can click on a player and see like how they've trended over like the last few months, up and down and up and down. And there's a lot of players that have fallen big time and a lot of players that have risen a ton too. So it's been an interesting site, but I'm just curious once we get to the draft and I can go back and like reflect on some of this content, like how accurate is it? But I feel like if they're averaging what everyone's doing, it should be relatively accurate, but we'll find out. I just thought that was interesting. But all right, let's move on to pick 136. And I will go ahead and start this off with Alex Austin, the corner out of Oregon State. So I did have a corner in my draft class here too. And I feel like the Bears, like you, Nick, there's no reason why you shouldn't shy away from continuing drafting at this position. And I like Austin here. He's 6'1", 195. Good ball production over his last 2 years, 17 PPUs, 4 interceptions, and he fits pretty good with that Bears zone heavy scheme, you know, that covered too. He excels with good communication skills. He has good eyes and a feel for how receivers are attacking zones, and he tends to get into a good spot and makes plays because he has some strong awareness of route combinations. And you can just tell when you're watching him, he kind of likes to get into the dirty work a bit. He likes to get in there as a run defender. You know, Coach Flus looking at that on a film would really, you know, give him some points there for that hustle, that intensity. And he understands the importance of playing run defense, and he can become a better tackler. He can shed blocks better, but I feel like corners aren't going to be your best tacklers. They're not going to be your best block shedders on the team. And if he can clean those up and continue to work on them, he can definitely give the Bears a good run defender at the position. And on top of that too, like, I feel like overall, like, he just fits, as I mentioned. And when I look at like fits, like out of the gate, like now we're in round five, pick 136, like the Bears did play two undrafted guys last year. So I'm not saying he doesn't have a chance to start, but I just see him as a special teams guy with a lot of upside that could push for playing time earlier than you would expect. But I'm not going to like force it right now. There's no reason to, really.
No, there isn't. And I know like earlier I was saying the Bears have a lot of holes and a lot of opportunities, but again, if it happens where he's a day one starter, you know, kudos to the pick, to the player. But yeah, this is where we're getting into the interesting parts of the draft for sure. For me, round five, pick 136, I have the Bears fortifying the trenches again, but going with Isaiah McGuire, the edge player out of Missouri, 6'4", 268 pound defensive end out of Missouri. In 2022, had 40 total tackles, 14 for loss, and 8.5 sacks. Had 6 sacks in the previous season. Another Senior Bowl guy. He was a week 9 top performing player in the college football season. This past season shows good bend around the edge, good hands to knock away offensive tackles that are trying to get a good block on him. But power at the point of attack was consistent too. While I was watching some of his clips, the biggest knock on him and where he probably won't be a guy that's consistently on the field is his ability to hold the edge, set the edge. And you know, I think that's obviously that's one area where the Bears need to drastically improve from last season, because they were one of the worst teams in run defending, stopping the run and setting the edge. So that's something that Isaiah McGuire would have to improve upon. And if he's not asked to be a day one starter, which he shouldn't be, then he can hopefully work on that part of his game and maybe just be asked to situational pass rusher in the beginning and then work his way up to be a more consistent overall player.
One more thing, and I'm sorry to go back to like mine real quick, but I was just reading some of my notes as you were talking, and I forgot like one thing I learned at the combine from Austin was that he was like the first player ever, and like I think the first college kid to like make his own scholarship and have it funded and given to other college persons. Like he's really big about like charitable work, and really, like I said, he started his own scholarship fund as a college football player, which I thought, you know, just a testament to his character. So I thought, I just want to make sure I added that in addition. But whew, man, we are burning through this thing.
We are. But I mean, we're already 40 minutes in, so we got a couple more picks here, and yeah, let's keep this rolling, Will.
So round five, pick 148 is what I mentioned at the top, that when I was going through the pick, somehow it fell off my list. And so I made my whole draft class. And then Lauren's like, hey, Will, you're missing some. I'm like, what? And so it's not the end of the world, but it was kind of sucky because it could have definitely changed how I approached round seven too. But I digress. Round five, pick 148. I'm going to pull switcheroo. You're up first.
Okay, cool. Round five, pick 148. I have the Bears selecting Keandre Coburn, defensive lineman out of Texas. 6'2", 332 pounds, 29 total tackles last season, 4 for loss, 2.5 sacks, 2 forced fumbles. Participated at the East-West Shrine Bowl game.
Oh, you had me.
Nope, not this time. But he is, how can I describe this? A big-bodied, lane-clogging, offensive lineman moving run stopper. I think that's the best way to kind of describe what Coburn could bring at the next level. But he's just a powerful human being. Lead. There was one play where they put Texas put him in the backfield as a lead block for the running back, and of course, no one's getting in the way of that. So Keandre Coburn, I just feel like he's Andrew Billings kind of mold. That kind of guy that's not going to allow these offensive linemen to get to that second level, will occupy space, can hopefully, you know, make tackles. That's one of the areas of his game he needs to improve on, is actually making tackles, because he can take on double teams. It's just finishing the play is where I kind of want to see him improve upon. But he's also not at this moment, Will, a three down player, but maybe as he gets acclimated to the NFL game, that can improve. But going still with the defensive line, 2 picks in a row for me, Keandre Coburn out of Texas.
You can't have too many defensive linemen that you're developing. And with the Bears free agency additions, he can be a player that, honestly, I know it's a round five pick, but maybe a practice squad guy if you can stash him. Maybe. I'm not saying he would be. I'm saying there's a potential path for that. But regardless, like, there should be a spot for him, honestly, probably even on the active roster too. And you can have him in those heavy packages. He can continue to grow from there. And yeah, that's not a bad pick. I mean, adding more guys to the trenches, we have a theme going. And I don't know if you tip your hand to Brandon, because I didn't, because it just makes too much sense that he shows up out of the freaking blue here today.
No, I had no idea. But look, it all aligned, right? We're doing our first like full mock draft. Brandon's here. We're fortifying the trenches. Makes too much sense.
Well, that's where games are won or lost. All right, let's get to my 148th pick here. I'm going with Israel Bana Kanda. That's a mouthful right there. I'm sure that's the one that Lawrence triple checked when he was Googling those names earlier today. It was probably one I got right, and I probably screwed up some of the other ones. I found one typo so far going through my notes. But like you, I feel like the Bears should add or be open to adding another running back in this draft. And this is a true zone scheme fit. He's a one cut change of direction type of guy. And he has a really wicked jump cut that really popped out when you watch it. Fun to watch. Good production. He had 100 or more yards in 9 of his final 11 games and 20 touchdowns on the ground. And those 20 touchdowns on the ground this year led the nation, and he also was second in the nation in yards per game on the ground with 164. And it got slightly skewed. He had a hell of a game. If you go back and watch versus Virginia Tech, Nick, he popped off. And I went by popped off. He popped off. 320 and 6 touchdowns on the ground. He popped the frick off. He tied a 110-year-old school record with those touchdowns. He broke a 37-year-old school record with rushing yards in that game. And if you go back in the last 25 years, Nick, only two other running backs in college football history had a game of similar stat lines, and that is Ricky Williams and LaDainian Tomlinson. Pretty good company.
I would say so. Yeah, that is, yeah. When you said popped off, I'm like, he went for 230 and, you know, so-and-so. No, he went up to the 300s, and yeah, that definitely clarifies as being a historic game for your guy there. That's nuts.
Like, well, holy moly, like what? Like 6 TDs on the ground. I don't even think I can do that in like a 7-minute Madden, like a 7-minute quarter Madden game. Like I just don't think it's really impressive. So when you watch him though, he keeps his eyes up, which allows him to kind of feel some of those cutback lanes. He can find him on the play side. He can kind of make defenses regret keeping something open on the backside as well. Good contact balance. A lot of good movement in like congested areas of the field to kind of break some additional tackles. He has breakaway speed. He sprinted in high school. It shows he can take it to the house. He's a home run hitter kind of guy. And the one thing that I want to see him work on if he gets drafted by the Bears, and if he doesn't, good luck to him. But if he comes to Chicago, I want to see him be a little bit more patient. When he's in that zone scheme, he reminds me more of Montgomery than Herbert. When it comes to that patience, and I think we all know that Herbert's patience is one of his biggest strengths and allows him to find those rushing lanes that may not have been there if he would have hurried up throughout his progression there. So I think that's something that I want to mention. And then, like most running backs, Nick, coming out, you got to become better as a pass protector. I think I just want to make sure I note that. But he is still very young. He will be 20 come week one. So if you're looking for someone who's young, eventually build around or be part of a committee, I think he's your guy.
Yeah, no, that's definitely a good point. Yeah, I think every running back should just have, like, coming into the NFL needs to be a better pass blocker, right? Because, I mean, it's true. And honestly, it's true. So, but yeah, I like the pick there. Before we have 2 picks left in our 10 pick full 7-round mock draft. But before we do, we're going to get to a super chat that came in earlier from Tyler Vaughns. Let's see. I feel like many people panic and in a hurry to fix it all this offseason. We all knew this would be a 2 to 3 year rebuild to make a deep playoff run. Obviously, work to get better, but this is a process that takes time. Absolutely, Tyler. This is a process. There were too many needs on this roster going into this season for Ryan Poles to address. And you know, there might be some premium positions that, as Bears fans, we look at afterwards like, man, Ryan Poles could have done more at this position. But it is part of a bigger collective plan that not only Poles has in mind, but this whole organization does. So I completely agree with you there. Not every single pick needs to be an immediate starter, like the conversation we were having earlier. But you do want to have a mix of players that can make an impact now and players that can develop to be impact players later on.
Exactly. And on top of that, just seeing where your team's aging and being able to, like, you know, if you can, like, make yourself and your backups like your own farm system, I think that would be, obviously, that's like the ideal goal for all teams. But the Bears, as we know, just have been really bad at doing that. And one other thing I want to add, you talk about the 2 to 3 year rebuild to make a deep playoff run. Like, we're on track. You talk about bringing in like a Lovie Smith, and like if you want to go back to like the early, like the mid to early 2000s and how they got to the Super Bowl, you brought a new head coach, you know, you reset the foundation, you make those expectations. And then you know what they did the next offseason, Nick?
Tell us, Will.
There we go. I was waiting for it. They brought in the top receiver from the Panthers. And Moose, Muhammad. Now, obviously, we all have higher aspirations for DJ Moore statistically, but you brought in Moose, they made it to the divisional round of the playoffs. And then the next year was that Super Bowl run. So if we're right on track, if you want to look at all those mile markers and history tends to repeat itself, we're on the right track. All right, let's get to our ad break, and then we'll finish off the draft. Obviously, everyone is going to stick around because they really want to know who we have the Bears taking in the seventh round with those two picks. Very important picks. I mean, they kind of are. Well, I'm not going to lie. Any pick's important. But before we do, let's share some messages, and I'll get to ours from our good friends over at Game Time, the hottest new ticketing site that makes it easier than ever to score the best deals on tickets to sports, concerts, and shows. Have you ever dreamed of sitting in a seat that you thought you never could? The 50-yard line, courtside, behind home plate, floor seats at a concert? It's all possible with the Game Time app. The biggest last-minute price drops can be found on the seats you thought you could never buy. You won't find a better deal this season on any of our teams here in Chicago. Baseball's coming up. Let's get going. Let's go Sox. I think I can say that in a safe space over here. And Game Time was created by the fans for the fans, and they guarantee the lowest price. So if you love CH Joe, you're going to love Game Time. The best way to support us is by buying your tickets through the link in the description. That's here on YouTube and also in your podcast player of choice. Showing over 15 million people who have downloaded the Game Time app and scored the best seats to all your favorite events.
Will, I got to tell everybody about Goose Island here. I got a cool hat here from Goose, but CHGO is supported by Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago's beer since 1988. So many great options like the Blackhawks Pale Ale, Bull City 312, the Beer Hug IPA series, and my personal favorite, No Plans. Goose Island's two local locations are open and ready to welcome you. Grab a beer right from their innovation tanks at the Goose Island Tap Room at 1800 West Fulton, or get a smash burger and a fresh beer of your choice at the original Clybourne location at 1800 North Clybourne. For reservations and pickup, go to gooseisland.com/locations. Goose Island Beer Company.
All right. Home stretch here for our mock drafts. We are in round 7, pick 218. And this is one of those picks that maybe I would have flip-flopped with that last one. But I still needed like a receiver. At least I thought I wanted at least one more. So I'm going with Elijah Higgins, the wide receiver out of Stanford. 6'3", 235-pound guy. And he just has versatility that intrigues me. He's like that big slot, which between a wide receiver and a tight end. Crisp route runner, creates good separation, stretch defenses vertically down the seam, and a good agility to like make some moves and be elusive after the catch. The reason why this pick intrigues me is because when I watch him, what I keep telling myself and reminded of is like kind of like a Chase Claypool-esque receiver. And the reason why you can maybe make this pick in round 7 is because we don't know what Chase Claypool is going to bring to the table this year. We don't know if he's going to take that next step here within this offense, but obviously the Bears brought him in for a reason. And I think they covet this sort of skill set within the offense. So this is kind of like your fail safe. If Claypool doesn't pan out, you don't want to extend him and you move on after this next season. Perhaps you have a guy in Higgins already waiting in the wings here. And if you're looking at some weaknesses, there's some focus drops that can be picked up. He's not the best tracker of some of those deep passes. So he can work on those things, become more of a complete receiver. But I feel like he could be a guy that's sitting in a practice squad, develop in the wings. And if the Bears want to move on from Chase, you have a guy with a similar skill set to kind of take it to the next step. And again, tweener between tight end, big slot. You can't have too many big guys, especially in the red zone area of the field. So I'm going to go with Elijah Higgins and just kind of hope that, you know, you find a diamond in the rough here.
Well, I completely agree with you on the pick, on the size, because I went with a wide receiver with pick 218, Matt Landers from Arkansas, 6'4", 200 pounds, and he runs a 4.37 40. Like, damn. This guy is turning. And he's that big, but I completely agree with you with how what you were just explaining. But he spent his first 4 seasons at Georgia, only 12 catches and 1 touchdown. Then he transferred to Toledo, 20 receptions, 514 yards, 5 touchdowns. And then went to Arkansas in 2022, 47 receptions, 901 yards, 8 touchdowns. I think he just needed to get away from the Georgia program because they were stacked with just wide receivers and talent. And then once he kind of went on to different, you know, schools, he was able to actually produce, but just made a bunch of big plays for the Razorbacks. And for me, I still need to watch, you know, a little bit more film on him. But what I can see is like the things that, you know, he's a 7th rounder here, and maybe he goes earlier than that because he does run a 4.37 at that size. But He kind of struggles despite the size to win those contested opportunities, needs to play with more physicality, and also like your guy had some focus drops. So those are areas of his game that I think he can improve. But look, as a seventh round pick, no guarantee what he can do, but you bring in a guy that has the physical intangibles, right? What your wide receiver had, what Matt Landers has here, and you see what they can do. And if they don't pan out, the seventh round draft pick, but you can never have too many wide receivers in the room to see what they're capable of.
Damn straight. All right, let's finish strong here, Nick. Pick 258. I'm hoping this could work out, but I'm going to go with Brandon Hill. So weird because of Brandon H in the episode in which Brandon H was in the chat out of nowhere. This is just weird. The world works in mysterious ways, but this is like my Elijah Hicks pick, but different. So last year you draft Elijah Hicks late in the draft, and he's your free safety guy to come in, help on special teams and develop. So then I look at Hill as your strong safety to bring in behind Jaquan Brisker to develop. And obviously Brisker is only entering his second year. You don't have to find someone to replace him, but you can find a valuable backup and someone that can contribute in the third phase. And what stands out about Hill is that he is just ultra aggressive. He likes to, what did Brandon say? I think he said, lay down the boomstick was one of his phrases that he used to like to say on the podcast. He can be like that enforcer on the field. He's decent in man coverage. His athleticism qualifies as, quote, twitchy. He can read, react, close in a blip, both in coverage and in run support. And I think he could be a very strong special teams player from the jump. And his weaknesses come with, you know, awareness and play recognition. Seventh rounder, you can coach him up. He doesn't have to be on the field. And of course, as a big hitter, he can work on wrapping up a bit. He tends to lean on those shoulders, those big ones that he likes to, you know, bring the boomstick with. So for me, he's just someone that you can bring in, develop, bring some tenacity, bring some of that nasty to the special teams, back up with his defense. And you just have another, I think, guy here to kind of help you in multiple ways. And here in the seventh round, if you can find a solid special teamer with someone who can develop and maybe be a backup, I think that's a win-win. So Brandon Hill out of Pittsburgh is how I'm going to wrap up my mock draft.
There you go, Will. Yeah, for me, my last pick, a guy all about development here, Jake Witt, the offensive lineman out of Northern Michigan. I actually just learned about this player not too long ago. The Athletic had a feature story on him. It's a guy that was a tight end at Northern Michigan, then transferred and had to be a tackle out of necessity. But at 6'7", 302 pounds, he ran a 4.8940, which would have ranked number one at the combine among tackles. And yeah, 40 is maybe not the most important thing for an offensive lineman, but he also had a 37-inch vert, which would have tied BYU's Blake Freeland. And he also, yeah, had a 10-foot-3-inch broad jump, which would have been the best among all offensive linemen in the past 10 years. So you just have an explosive athlete who's new at the position, right? So as a round seven, 200 pick 258, you're kind of just, you're banking on some traits. You're seeing if this guy can develop into something more, and why not take a, not a flyer, but use one of these draft picks on a guy that has all the intangibles, right? So, and you know, I've always liked the former tight ends that eventually that go to be like a tackle. Cody Mauch was one of those kind of guys. So, and he was one of my draft picks here. But for the last pick in my draft, round seven, pick 258, Jake Witt, offensive lineman out of Northern Michigan.
So I did see a good comment from Tyler again. Wasn't a super chat, but I think it's worth mentioning. So he said, I thought the seventh round was a good time to bring in like a third string QB, which really good point. I was looking at Max Dugan from TCU potentially here, honestly. As someone, I think he's, you know, he has a good chip on his shoulder. He's a good leader. He could be someone the Bears would be interested in. But at the same time, like, I feel like he's borderline draftable. So you could find him as like a high priority undrafted free agent. But I do think that's a good point here to bring up that, because we've talked about it before. Neither of us went QB, but that's why I didn't do it, because I just thought potentially you can get him afterwards. And I was just trying to learn about some other players here, honestly, as well. But anything you want to say on that real quick?
Yeah, no, I think a quarterback in this draft, especially later on, is definitely a possibility because Justin Fields and PJ Walker. And one of those guys goes down, you would ideally want to have another quarterback just on the roster that can run the system. So, yeah, it's definitely a possibility. We have a lot of time between now and the draft to, you know, make up another mock draft and put a quarterback in there. I was kind of mad at myself after I got done with it. No tight ends. For me, I had tight ends that have converted to tackles, but I don't have any true tight ends on my mock draft. And, you know, people will argue that the whole draft was terrible, but that was the one thing that I didn't like. Anything for you, Will, that like you, after you got done with your mock, you're like, maybe the next one I'm going to have this position or anything like that.
I thought like, you know, having the tight end from Michigan and then also the receiver who's like that tweener may have been overkill in terms of like those bigger body guys and adding that, like the more I thought about it, like, maybe, I know they technically play different positions and can do a little bit of like have different skill sets, but I thought there may have been enough overlap to warrant going in a different direction with the pick. Maybe that could have been a QB. So that's kind of where I am right now, but overall, like I enjoyed the process yet again. It's always fun to kind of figure out like how things can shake out, throughout the entire draft process in the draft class. So let's repeat our draft classes and we can call it an episode. I thought it was like, I mean, look at that, an hour and 1 minute, like we did the thing. So here's mine: round one, pick 9, Jackson Smith and then Jigba. Round two, pick 53, John Michael Schmitz. Round two, pick 61, Keanu Benton. Round three, pick 64, Derek Hall. I should have probably been doing positions and such. Derek Hall, edge out of Auburn. Round four, pick 103, Brake Freeland, the offensive tackle at BYU. Round 4, 133, Luke Schoonmaker, tight end, Michigan. Round 5, 136, Alex Austin, cornerback out of Oregon State. Pick 148 in the fifth round, Israel Banakanda. And then round 7, 218, Elijah Higgins. And round 7, 258, Brandon Hill, the safety out of Pittsburgh. And Higgins is a wide receiver out of Stanford.
There you go, Will. My 7-round mock draft, you have round 1, pick 9, Kalijah Kancey, defensive lineman out of Pittsburgh. Round 2, pick 53, Cody Mauch, offensive lineman out of North Dakota State. And then you have round 2, pick 61, Julius Brents, cornerback out of Kansas State. Round 3, pick 64, Keon White, edge out of Georgia Tech. Round 4, pick 103, Tajay Spears, running back out of Tulane. Round 4, pick 133, Jaden Reed, wide receiver out of Michigan State. Round 5, pick 136, Isaiah McGuire, edge out of Missouri. Round 5, pick 148, Keandre Coburn, defensive lineman out of Texas. Then the 2 7th round draft picks. Round 7, pick 218, Matt Landers, wide receiver out of Arkansas. And the last pick, round 7, 258, Jake Witt, offensive lineman out of Northern Michigan.
All right. High five, Nick. We did it.
And yes, it would have been cool if we had full screen graphics to show all those picks at once, but I didn't get to it. Sorry, everyone.
Sorry, guys. It's okay. Well, yeah, you listened to the last portion of the podcast. We laid out all out there, but appreciate you, Lawrence. Last minute thing, getting all these players out there. Yeah. So if they watch, you know exactly who we're talking about. So it's cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Appreciate it, Lawrence. Appreciate everyone tuning in, listening, watching, however you want to consume the show. We appreciate it. But I just say, hey, go have a kick-ass weekend, enjoy some college basketball, and we'll be back next week to talk more Chicago Bears leading into the draft. But until then, bear down, Chicago.
Ooh, let's say goodbye.
Bye-bye.